This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Brock and Salk, on our final day as a radio show, we will be with you moving forward in podcast form. So excited for what comes next here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Honestly, the new lineup is dynamite. I'm very excited. Lydia obviously will continue at 6 o'clock. I think you guys are going to love having Danny O'Neill here in this spot. Obviously a familiar, important, wonderful voice here on this station and in this city. He'll be joined by a guy named Paul Gallant, who we talked to yesterday. I love Paul. Howdy really loves Paul. I love Paul. He's a really dynamic, interesting, kind of next generation dude. And I think he'll bring, hopefully, a little of what I have to this station and this show for a while, some different opinions, an outsider edge, and hopefully he'll make you think a little bit. At least that's the goal. So looking forward to Danny and
wouldn't
Gallant.
If Boy Howdy had a last name, wouldn't it be something like Boy Howdy Gallant?
Yes.
Like just the air and, I don't know, the creativity, the beard, everything else.
Yes.
Like there's, I think, a lot of Paul that Howdy's going to really enjoy.
Clayton continues at 10 o'clock. Curtis Rogers will be on with him a little bit more, and that'll, I think, be a fantastic combination. In middays from 12 to 3, you'll hear Tom Wassel with Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost. I had somebody come over to me yesterday and say, that's going to be the best show on the station. Maybe it will be. Like, I think they're all going to be great, but that one's going to be fun.
Strong producer.
Kyle's going to go produce that show. That show should have a very interesting energy depending on the day, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
And then I think a show that should make sense to a lot of people, Bob Stelton, will join Dave Wyman and Jim Moore in the afternoon. So, I mean, when you kind of go through that lineup, that's how you move on, man. I mean, it's time for us to do our next thing, and I think 710 ESPN Seattle will continue with our partnerships with the Seahawks and the Mariners and the Cougs and everything. Like, I just at ESPN, I'm really, really excited for the future of the station. Now, for the more immediate future, Brock, the Seahawks have to go to Arizona this week, and there's some stuff I know you want and need to see.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, and I guess this will be the last time in a regular Friday. We've done a few different things, by the way, through the years. Remember that whole, what was Agree with Salk?
Agree with Brock.
We had that whole segment, like Agree with Salk.
I don't remember that.
These games.
That was a very short-lived segment because nobody wanted to do it.
Do you remember these Fridays with AC/DC through the years?
Yeah, I'm not saying there won't be a little before we're done. Who knows?
Do you remember those just playing, just thunderstruck, me doing power lifts and Hungarian calls and everything
else? I remember are the power lifts.
The number of times you went into these games, like, it don't matter. I don't really care who you play. You're just going to get beat up. I don't know if the Seahawks will win every one of them, but every single one of these games, you're going to just feel it. Right? You're going to feel it. So that's probably...
Oh, there's a little thunderstar for you.
Oh. Oh, really?
Please don't do this. I just said nice things about you too. Now you're going to drive me crazy. I hope you're not watching on the stream right now.
Not ready yet.
Okay, good.
Not ready.
Thank God.
Maybe by the end of the segment, I'll give you some. I tried.
You'll give me the cue.
No, I just looked at 225 right down there on the bar. Like, I can't do that right now. I used to be able to do that power claim. I can't do that. And I got to save my voice. I'm getting old and everything else. But that's probably right where I would start, man. I want this game to be one of 2-3 sacks. I want to see Kyler Murray's jersey dirty. I want to see them get after him. I want to see more than 0 sacks and 2 hurries and 14% pressure in blitz. I think that front, especially in Bobby and Michael and those guys, you just got to let them loose. And if you give up a big play here or there, okay, you got to live with that just a little bit. But I want to see them play aggressive. I really do. And I need to see some of those numbers. I can't have Coach Carroll get up there after the game and look at the stat sheet and go, LJ, no marks. Ziggy, no marks. Yeah, you know, no, you need to have marks on that stat sheet. Mm. You need to see tackles for loss. You need to see tackles. You know, just that word that keeps coming to my mind. And, you know, we're into feelings today and into emotions. But, you know, that's what the Seahawks players said about the Saints. You could just feel them on that field, their O-line and Kamara. You know, so that's what I need to say. I want to see a bunch of numbers, but I need to see and feel their presence on the field. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah.
I want to see Trey Flowers be aggressive and pull the trigger in coverage. And I need to see him actually break up a pass. I do. I need to see him for his confidence. I was listening to Bucky Brooks, actually, with Daniel Jeremiah, and he was talking about, he had a question of some guy that you just stood on the table for. Is there a guy through the years that you went up, you know, and you stood on the table and you're like, we need to take this guy in our program? And you know what's crazy? And who Bucky mentioned was Brandon Browner. He's like, Brandon Browner coming out of Oregon State. Dude was knock-kneed. He couldn't run. He ran
said knock-kneed or you said
no,
knock-kneed.
No, he said knock-kneed. Ran 4.78 at the combine. And I'm sitting there bragging about him like, this guy is ridiculous. He just choke slams dudes, and he's feisty, and he's nasty. And at that time, Bucky Brooks was with the Carolina Panthers, and he'll fit, right? Don't look at it. Don't worry. And then at the combine, he ran like 4.78, and a bunch of his peers and at Carolina like, you can look on that one, Bucky. Like, that's not going to happen. And guess what? He went undrafted. And guess what? He went to the CFL. And ultimately, Pete and John and this crew said, okay, let's bring him down. Let's give this dude a shot because he's nasty. And he fit. And I think Trey Flowers has got nasty to him. He played safety in college. I watched him come down and sting people in their quarters coverage and play physical and have some of that stinger and that edge. And I would just like to see it because what I'm seeing is just a real passive. Mm. Keep it in front. Just keep it in front. Just don't.
Well, he's so concerned about getting beaten deep.
He is.
Right?
And he's so concerned about getting penalties. He's so concerned about that.
Yeah, and teams have put their better receiver over there. I've been watching. It's amazing how often he's going up against the Michael Thomases of the world. He's not going up against the alternate second receiver a lot.
It's been the primetime guy. You see where the numbers are going? They're not throwing at Shaq as much.
No.
Shaq breaks up a curl against the Bengals. Shaq breaks up a play last week.
And now it's just going to be on Trey to try to prove that he can do that also.
So how many ways can you get Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, what's interesting about your story about Bucky Brooks is that I think Trey Flowers was that here in Seattle. I mean, my understanding is that he was one of two guys they had to have coming out of that draft. Not necessarily first round pick style because there was just time to get him later, but that Trey Flowers and Will Dissly were the two people they had to have in that draft. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did. And so I'd like to see, you're absolutely right. That's a guy who has a chance to really play up to that.
I really want to see this O-line play a clean game and avoid false starts. Avoid holding calls. Avoid the negative plays that just derail these drives. That you get to first and 20 and you're like, oh gosh. Second and 20. Oh my goodness. I really want to see them do that. I need Arizona to say, man, DJ Fluker is a monster. Man, you potty is in an element with the right team. Man, that Justin Britt and Dwayne Brown and Jermaine Ifedi and George Fant. You know, you're built, okay? They are a finesse team. They're going to draft, and they did a year ago. Lots of receivers, and they're going to play 10 personnel, and they're going to try to play a finesse game. You are built what? You're like a grizzly bear. Saw Titus last night. By the way, he was in your hood, Salk. He went to Woodland Park Zoo on a field trip yesterday. Was so exhausted after walking 5 miles that all he could do was lay on his bed. I came home first time. Ty's asleep, like taking a nap afterwards because the Woodland Park Zoo got him. Not only the walking, he was so invigorated. He's like, dude, these grizzly bears. They just stood up on their 2 feet, too. It was amazing, Dad. I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, yeah, that's Fluke.
By the way, big moment coming for the Bears. Like, if you like the zoo and you like animals, you want to go right around Halloween. Halloween's the best time to go to the zoo because they give all the animals pumpkins. You got to go get the schedule of when each animal gets the pumpkin. But the Bears go crazy for that thing. They bat it around. They get after the pumpkin. The hippo just like, oh, just destroys that thing. Like, the pumpkins are awesome. Totally recommend the zoo around Halloween. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's perfect. And that's what that motion right there, that's what I want. Yes. Fant and Ifedi on Terrell Suggs, 38-year-old Terrell Suggs on the edge. Go do that. Go chomp down on these guys. These, you know, some backups, some young player. Byron Murphy starting out there at corner, right? DK Metcalf, you're outweighing him by 40 pounds. Go chomp on him. Just go be physical. After 3 weeks of getting talked to, of hearing some of the noise on the outside, and I know Justin Britt hears it. I know some of those guys hear the negativity. I know they're probably tired of it, of all of it being, you know, put on them. Well, go do something about it because I think the running back behind you is going to run wild if you do. Speaking to DK, I want DK Metcalf to have a 100-yard day.
That'd work for me.
I want this. He had, what, 84 in the opener. That was a rookie record, broke Steve Largent's rookie record and franchise record that stood since 1977. But this is a day that I'd like to see DK have a 100-yard day. I'd like to see him break a tackle and just house call it. He's been close. He's made a bunch of big catches. His catch, by the way, if they would have saved a second more and had a timeout, we'd have been talking about that catch.
Sure.
I mean, that was amazing. That was going up between people, a double team, and going up and coming down with it before half.
I know. But doesn't it almost feel like they wasted a Hail Mary there?
Yes.
Like, hey, use that one later when you're going to need it, boys.
But I think actually to win this game and be productive, it's more than just DK. I need to see the role wide receivers actually do something and not just catch and fall down. Right, I need to see those guys, and Malik Turner's not good enough to just catch a curl route, actually make an explosive play off of that. Right, if Jerron Brown's going to get a ball, if Ursua is going to be up and active, and more than likely doubtful that's going to happen. But if it is, those roll wide receivers, it just can't be a catch and fall. It's got to be
I'll settle for at least a catch and fall. I mean, with Jerron Brown, it hasn't even been that. It's been the ball bouncing off his hands and a dumb penalty, and he's not in the right spot, and he's not open. I mean, Jerron Brown would kill for a catch and fall right now. Seriously.
Yep. I think, what was he, 3 of 6 a week ago? One time, not in the right spot that Russell expected him to be. Yes, those roll wide receivers have got to emerge. Just a couple last ones here.
Yep.
I want to see a legit takeaway or two by this defense. I mean, I want to see a legit takeaway or two by this defense, including an interception that they make. Not a ball that goes off Moncrief's hands. The lone interception through three games was off Moncrief's hands, off his face mask. Bradley comes and makes a nice catch on it. But I would actually like to see a legit jump in front of Kyler Murray. He's 5'9". Okay, if Clowney is in his face, there's going to be times he's not going to see you in zone. And I would sure like to see a takeaway or two. And I need to see this defense tighten up, man. I need to see him sticky. I need to see him in the red zone because more than likely, Arizona's got good players. Larry Fitzgerald's a good player.
And it's an offense that's going to move the ball.
They will move the ball.
Yeah.
And when they do, this is to win this game, what you need to do is you need to limit those touchdowns in the red zone. You beat Cincinnati because of it. It was an ugly game, but you limited them. You actually had a fumble in the red zone. And, yeah, I need to see them. I did not like watching the Saints score in the red zone a couple times. Did not like that. Did not like to see them run it in. Did not like to see the little pass on 4th and 1 and the courage of Sean Payton to call that in your building. I did not like to see that. Right? That's what I need to see, I think, for a win for this group is to really tighten it up in the red zone. And I hit earlier on Chris Carson. That to me, if the matchup I said to you defensively was walking this line of how much blitz and how you're going to just manage this QB and the speed, and you know Pete gets scared of running quarterbacks, he hates it. Any D coordinator that's worth their salt hates it because their whole game plan is to draw it up and to take things away and to play sound defense in an athletic running quarterback just rips up that game plan. So you know that Pete's losing a little bit of sleep getting prepared for him. On the flip side, the big thing for me is 32. Come on, man. You know, a 1,000-yard season a year ago, I don't like where some of the places you take me once in a while, Salk, because oftentimes they've been right. Right?
By accident.
Yeah.
I promise.
Where you just, you know, like in this whole Rawlsian thing where running backs do and can and have disappeared in this league, right? Where they have an amazing season and you're like, man, build on it. Top 5 back in this league. And all of a sudden, fumbles or hits or an injury. And where'd that guy go? Where'd Thomas Rawls go? He had an amazing year that year. He gored people. We wrote songs about him. He was amazing. And then he just disappeared. And, you know, a bunch of fumbles can, I'm sure, get in someone's head. And that's why Pete has been more than outspoken. We've got his back. His teammates love him. I love him. We're going to encourage him. We're going to get him through it. Shoddy yesterday speaking to the media like, man, we are going to get through this. We believe in him. So now you just got to go out there, Chris, and, man, just play with your hair.
I really hope so. I mean, he is one of the biggest reasons why I was excited to watch the team this year, right? Is what is Chris Carson going to do to build on the fantastic season that he had a year ago? And if he can stay healthy, I mean, remember watching him even in preseason? Every time he got the ball, so bam, shot out of a cannon, knock a dude over. I mean, even in the first, what was it, the second game where he just kept knocking dudes over on the sideline, like, and I don't want this
fumbling
problem.
The Cincy game
where
he ran through 4 dudes
right.
on a touchdown.
This fumbling thing cannot take away who Chris Carson actually is because
correct.
He's a potentially special player at that position and more specifically, a great fit for what it is Pete wants to do. Their stated goals of being physical and mean and nasty and a bully. Chris Carson's got all of that ability, not to mention his sort of elusive breakaway, make you miss and get out there after one cut. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why he's perfect for this team. But it doesn't work if he keeps putting the ball on the ground, and it doesn't work if he gets hesitant because of that. And all of a sudden, they're a completely different football team than they're supposed to
be. Yeah, the running back in Arizona, remember that dude a couple years ago? Like, oh my gosh, David
Johnson
is a monster. What did Gambo say to us this week?
He's awful.
Where is he? Like, he's disappeared. How about Todd Gurley? I mean, he couldn't tackle Todd Gurley. I mean, this guy, they gave him $50 million. Like, Todd Gurley is just this unbelievable phenom. He's the next. What's happened to Todd Gurley? Where's he gone? How does this happen for running backs? Not only does their lifespan seemingly end at 30 in the NFL, Micah can end season to season. And, you know, we've seen that and experienced it right here. And really, since Marshawn, it has been so hard to find the next Marshawn for the last 4 or 5 years. That bell cow that guy that's there week after week, season after season that you believe in. So come on, 3-2, right? Like, just this is the one that you'd really like with that O-line. You'd really like to see him get right for this team.
Let me read a couple texts that have come in, not just on this stuff, but just sort of on the end of the show today. Thanks, bros. Going to really miss you guys in the morning. Hey, I just wanted to thank Salk for the show of emotion this morning. Thank you for being real. I've only been an everyday listener for the last couple of years, but no matter where you go, you've got a fan for life right here. Wow, that's incredibly nice. I'm getting out of my car, Salk. This is it for me. I feel sad. Anyway, good luck and thanks. I used to get so mad at you, but now I guess I just get you. All right. Well, first of all, it doesn't have to be the end. You can continue to listen to us together every week, and we got about 10 more minutes before we're going to give away these tickets. So you have the last few minutes to get in under the gun. Text podcast 710-710. Write back yes when you get the bounce back that comes to you, and you'll be entered. That'll give you a little link, and you can click on the subscribe button, and then it'll be automatically downloaded to your phone every Wednesday morning. You'll be ready to listen to Brock and Salk, our podcast, as it moves forward. So you're not going to have to leave us. We will all be able to hang out together. And when you do that, and if you do it before about 8:23 or so, you will be entered to win a pair of tickets to go see the Seahawks and Rams Thursday night football, sideline passes included as well. So yeah, text podcast to 710-710, write back with a yes, and then click the link to subscribe, and at that point you will be with us and entered to win the ticket. So as for the other part of it, I used to get so mad at you, but now I just get you. Is there any lesson in there at all? Like, for people, like, especially in media and sport, where like people have a tendency to get so mad right away about change or something different or accepting an idea that is not the norm for them. Is there anything, I hope, that to the last decade of listening to this show and getting furious and mad, and that's not the way I've always thought, and then eventually being like, oh, actually, I kind of maybe do feel that way sometimes. And it's okay to be mad at my team. And it's okay to expect more. And it's okay to think a little bit differently. Like, those things are okay. And by the way, they're not just okay in sports. They're okay all the time. It's okay to, like, really think about stuff and ask questions and wonder and be negative sometimes and be positive at others and have people doubt you. Those things are okay. They're part of the spice of life. And I hope, like that texter, if you are like that person, that you can mimic some of that.
Well, to go in the Wayback Machine just a little bit here, isn't that, and doesn't that summarize in many ways our deal here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so.
I mean, the first 18 months.
Not so good.
I get mad at you.
Yeah.
Like, I get mad at you, and you get mad at me. And man, did I get mad. And man, were there screaming sessions. And thankfully, there was not a video stream between segments of yelling, screaming, and Paisley coming in, wild arms, like, we're back on the air, right? And we're on in 10 seconds. Knock it off, right? Because we were just mad at each other, mad at your point of view. You're mad at my point of view. I'm mad at your cynicism. You're mad at my naivete. We're just mad at each other.
And we're frustrated.
I'm mad at your worldview. You're mad at my worldview. I mean, we're just mad for the first, like, 18 months of this show. And then, you know what? It kind of turned into, okay, fine. I get you. Because this isn't going to change. Your worldview, your ideology, your religion, your makeup, who you are, not going to change necessarily, right? We're going to soften the edges, and we're going to work together, and I'm going to get you, and we're going to do this show, and we're going to make it. You said earlier, Salk, about the audience and coming into this business and not thinking about maybe the people on the outside. That's the one thing we did have in common. Mm. You and I said, we're going to do this, man.
Two of
After
us.
About 18 months and just losing and nearly fired and the show and the station nearly shut down, we're going to do this thing. Enough of this. I don't care that there's another heritage sports station and you're not supposed to win when there's another heritage station that's been here for 20 years and has all the relationship. I don't really care. And they got rid of some of the national programming. They put us in a different window, and we're like, we're going to win. We're going to do this. And Pete Carroll came in, and Russell came in, and we bet on Russell. Right. And we both had that belief that it was going to happen. Mm. And then as that team succeeded, we succeeded. And how about the day? Do you remember when I picked you up?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like and I remember the Graz texting like, dude, you don't see ratings like this. We had like a 13 share. Right. And I picked you up on my shoulder like an idiot. And you know, this business is one where you are a team.
My back's actually been sore ever since that. Like, you actually knocked something loose in part of my lower back. That's why I have problems.
The sciatica.
Yes. That's why the sciatica
always
comes
the
from.
Sciatica.
It's always Brock's fault.
I kicked out the imaging. I said, get out of your room here. I got to celebrate right now. And picked you up. And I'm like throwing you into the ceiling. Like, dude, that was an amazing, amazing run. But it doesn't happen. Mm. It really would not have happened. if it was just mad at you.
Yeah.
And I'm just mad at you. If we never got each other, it wouldn't have worked. And that is really, I think, more than anything else. I was telling even my new colleagues this last time, what I'm so proud of and what will continue. And while I'm not going to cry and go crazy like we did last time, I welled up right there. I got in my emos for a second.
Just for a second. Get back out.
Because I'm not going to do it, because we're going to continue this on a weekly basis.
Yep.
And it's going to be awesome, because we're going to continue to show you guys, all of you out there, that you can be and look at the world totally differently, as Salk and I do. Yet you can come to work together and actually love, at the end of the day, working together, being totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, totally different.
I would add to that that, you know, it's politics and life and worldview that really, probably more than anything else, was problematic for us, you know, 10 years ago. We can talk about that stuff now, and how odd, considering how much more polarized that stuff has become in America in those last 10 years. We don't talk about politics on this show,
mm-hmm.
but Brock and I can talk about taxes and talk about, you know, who's in charge and who should be in charge and big issues of social justice and all that. Like, we can talk about that stuff, not for very long. I mean,
no.
Eventually we just get sick of it.
And like, not all the time.
We're just kind of moving along here. Occasionally we're still going
to have. Some of them, we just know each other.
But we can accept the other's view, and,
yes.
And you know, that is definitely something going away in America right now. So hopefully you guys can try that with somebody who thinks differently from you.
One last thing.
Sure.
And I don't think this is coincidence.
And then we're going to talk to Shannon, by the way, in 10 minutes.
Yes, and this is a little bit of what happened last night. I don't believe in a lot of coincidence. I don't. I'm not one that's like, oh, that's coincidence. Oh, that's karma. I don't believe in that stuff.
I do.
Okay, it's fine. Again, we are different.
Weird.
And that's okay. But I don't think it was coincidence last night that we both got to experience in different ways. You're watching on TV dumbfounded, because baseball players don't do this. I'm sitting there in that stadium with a lot of people getting misty-eyed and everything else, because Felix last night got to express to that audience what they meant and all that connection. When you and I started this, we were like most baseball players. Mm. Can we just pitch? Can we just figure this out? Can we just win? Can I just have command of my pitches? We did this show, and I don't think ever really thought, maybe a consultant would come in and say, hey, what's your show? Hey, define your show. You know, who you're speaking to, define your show for me, right? And we would try to do that.
I don't think Don O'Neill ever consulted, but yes, I know what you mean.
That was pretty good, other Wayne.
It's pretty good Wayne.
Yeah, it was a pretty, I thought, decent
pretty good Wayne
right
Griggs.
There. Yes. And, you know, and then we would go, oh, yeah, there is an audience out there, right? We would start to feel some of that. But that has been the biggest change over the last 4 or 5 years. It's, we do our thing here, but so often it is thinking about you all out there. What do you want? How do you want to connect with us? Why do we share? Not all radio hosts share about their family. Very few do, actually, and their kids and their stories. Very few share about their parenting. Very few share about their marriages, right? Very few share that. But because of the connection we have with all of you out there, we want to give that and share that.
Yeah.
And to me, like last night, watching Felix embrace that crowd is a little bit of what this is for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a daily basis, through these texts, through the tweets, through the emails. Always get along? Is it always the love fest that it was for Felix last night? No. Actually, no. But man, it's a unique connection.
Yeah.
That very few things in life, in any job, give to people, and that's a privilege for us.
You know, there is an alternate theory on why our show went from being as bad as it was to eventually improving, and that's just the addition of Boy Howdy, who joined at some point, and all of a sudden the ratings took off like no one had ever seen before.
Wasn't it about that time?
Those 13 shares and everything else, everyone getting along, all that joy and happiness. As far as I know, that all coincided with Boy Howdy joining the show, or at least that's what he's always told me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that the math and the timing actually matches up to that, but that's what Howdy has always said.
Hey, you can write your own history if you want, but the facts will remain that I made you. I made you, Mike.
Thank you,
Howdy. I made you in my image.
Thank you.
And here you are. You stand before the city of Seattle, a reflection of Boy Howdy, now and for all of time.
Thank you so much, Howdy.
You're welcome,
for everything
Seattle.
You've done for me personally.
You're
and,
welcome.
And for this entire community. All right. This is your very, very last chance to, if you want to win these tickets, to text in podcast and then yes to 710-710. Shannon Dreyer will join us. She had a front row seat for the whole deal last night, and she was fantastic in explaining everything that had gone down. We'll talk to Shannon for the final time next on Brock and Salk.
Boy, howdy. That spaghetti with brown butter and Mizithra cheese.
What just did you just say?
Boy, howdy.
What's boy, howdy? Boy Howdy?
Boy Howdy.
Where are you from?
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
I said it's time. And I said I'm proud of you, how you've handled everything. And I said you will always be the king in this town. And you will. You will. There will never be another like Felix here.
This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. About an hour and a half left for us. We will do some open phone lines at 9 o'clock. Kyle, did you choose a winner in the whole podcast competition?
We have chosen the winner. I have not contacted the winner yet.
So until they say
drama,
yes.
Drama remains.
All right, drama ensues, I'm sure. Can I tell a quick story? Before I moved to Seattle, I didn't know anybody in sports media here except for one person. I only knew one person.
Larry LaRue.
It was not Larry LaRue.
Let me guess.
It was not
Art Teal.
It wasn't Art Teal. It wasn't John Hickey. Huh. No, there was only one person I knew in the entire Seattle sports media because I had interviewed her a couple of times and had her on some shows in Boston and thought she was an incredibly bright, interesting human to talk baseball with. And that is the person who joins us right now, Shannon Dreher. And I will say that the last 10 years has only increased and more than doubled that thought. Shannon, it was a pleasure to watch you last night on the TV broadcast and just always been great to talk baseball with you both on the air and off over the course of the last 10 years. It's good to have you on the show.
Oh, it's good to be here. We're going to have to do the emotion thing again, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to double down on that because, you know, Larry, Papa, my father-in-law, I remember him very early saying, I'll tell you what about this radio show. I like that baseball insider you talk to. Hmm. She's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, she's good. My father-in-law who pitched, you know, collegiately and dabbled professionally, Shannon, thinks the world of you. And you just crushed it yesterday. Your history and your background with so many of these players, but in particular this king, it sure seemed like, man, you guys were simpatico in many, many ways. What was that evening like for you last night?
It was one that I was dreading, and I mean, there's no player that I will follow from start to finish for 15 years ever again, let alone see as a 19-year-old, and that's it just had a different relationship with everyone back then because he really was a kid, and everybody really was looking out for him, and you knew that he was a special talent, but then when you got him in front of you, even though there was a language barrier for a little while, you knew he was a special person, too, so he's a tough one to say goodbye to, and it was something I just wanted to get through yesterday because of that. And then to get to the game and to see the fans turn out early, to see all of the yellow shirts, to see Felix walk out to the bullpen, and you knew that he was going to be emotional. There was no question about that, and it came out the minute he set foot on that field. But to see him kind of reel it in and to keep acknowledging the crowd, it really came back to what he was all about. And as the game got going, and you just started to enjoy those moments more, and you started to take them in, and you started to remember when he absolutely dominated. And the one thing that was constant was that command that he had of the game, that command that he had of the stadium, that back and forth that he had with the fan, that yes, this was his house, this was where he wanted to be. And when it was all over, the thing that I was left with was, Felix was the king once again last night. It's been a really tough few years for him, but he was the king start to finish. He owned that building. Now, there were Oakland A's standing on their top step clapping for him as well. And mm-hmm. Bob Melvin stopped him on the way over when he was going back after the game to meet with the King's Court. And, you know, no pitcher has put up more wins against the A's than Felix Hernandez. But he completely took it over. It was his night. He showed us what he was those 15 years in those five short innings and that time after the game. And for me, it was a special night, and it was I don't think there could have been a more fitting end for him in the career that he has had here. And it was about what he did on the field, and it was about that relationship, and it all just came shining through last night.
I heard a young Jake Heaps the other day. He was talking about the press box and how much he hates it. And I agree with him because he was trying to celebrate during the Seahawks game the other day and got like looked at by the hardened journalists.
You started a Jake Heaps celebration jar. This was my idea. It's kind of like a swear jar. You've got to put some money in. And then the rest of us, Stacey, myself,
he's going to have to come down and watch it sweet or something.
Yeah,
like, he
doesn't.
Literally held him back.
That's right.
That's bad news.
So last night, you referenced the point when Felix was walking out to the bullpen. This was what was playing in the stadium.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
I'm getting little hairs on the back of my neck standing up right now. Shan, when that comes on, and I don't know whose plan that was. I'm doubting that was Felix's plan. I'm going to guess that was someone there that knew exactly what would get the evening started. When that goes on and you see him walking out and acknowledging the fans, Were you into your emos at that point?
Yeah, I think I was more taking it in then, and I was just, you know, it's, what is he going to be like? And that song to me really kind of represented the last few years, kind of the tougher years for him. I think that's when that started to come about. And it also, when I hear that, is that's okay, that's 30s Felix. And that's when he's going to go out there and he's going to battle to stay in games. And he's not going to find that he has his best stuff and you're going to see the competitive him. And so it was funny because I started the pregame show on radio with Sunshine and Lollipops. And that was the unofficial theme song of Felix Day. And, you know, it's a silly song. It's a joyous song. And that to me kind of was more... That's, you know, that side of him. And so to hear that coming out afterwards, and I hadn't played that in a few years because it hasn't been really Felix Day. He was out there pitching, but it's been a tougher go. But darn it, he deserved a song back. So to hear both of them, I think it was almost start to finish. And, you know, he grew up with this team. I think you saw that, you heard it, and he certainly took that to heart. He wanted to be the man out there. You know, just incredible what the Mariners people put up around him and played into. You know, it is mostly the fans, but they built it up as well and just made it so theatrical. And Felix loved every moment of that. You know, that he called it his King's Court. Those are his people. That's his song. So to see him have that moment and to get to be in the center of attention and to be that guy, see his teammates let him run out on the field not once but twice by himself. It was a pretty neat experience. I don't know that you, I mean, what, when he walked out at the beginning of the game, I don't think I've ever seen that much emotion walking out on a field.
From any baseball player.
After when they come out, but coming out to start the game, I was like, how's he going to throw a pitch? And he managed it.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of baseball, Shane. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen a baseball player pointing at the crowd in the middle of a game like a wrestler.
Playing off the crowd.
He was like a professional wrestler. He was like Chris Jericho or something out there pointing at the crowd and getting everybody amped up. That is, I've never seen anything
Are
like
you
that.
Entertained?
Have you, I know I tweeted with you a lot. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I haven't, and it was great. And when he's doing that, I'm like, well, shoot, we should have more of this.
No kidding. Yes. Every game should be like that. Let's go. You made one other comment last night that just really stood out to me. And before we let you guys, I want to ask you about it. Is just the difference in Felix's mentality and personality every fifth day, not because he was more focused, although I'm sure he was, but because he got to do what he truly loved.
Yeah, that's Felix. And it didn't matter if it was a game that counted or if it was a spring training game. And I've even seen him be that way before a sim game coming off injury. And this is Felix, and this is maybe what you don't see behind the scenes. This guy loves to pitch. It means everything to him. He wants to be out there. He lives for that fifth day. He absolutely, from start to finish, it's his. And if it was a pitch day for him, you would always hear him before you would see him come into the clubhouse. He would make some loud noise or knock something over or turn up the music, whereas other starters around baseball, it's their focus day. They come in quiet and, you know, they're kind of like ghosts in a clubhouse. He turned it up. And, you know, that was the joy that he has for pitching. And to me, that was everything that encapsulated the other side. It's why he does what he does out there. But I've never seen, everybody loves, almost everybody loves the game. But you can see how much that means to him. And to see it for a spring training game, to see it for a sim game, that's all I ever needed to see to really, you know, see how much that means to him, to tell me who he is out there. And you know, his teammates saw it too. It was something very, very special, very, very unique.
Well, Shannon, thank you, not just for last night, but in general over the last 10 years. You've been a constant guest on this show. You've come on to talk about any number of things
anytime we
Mariner
ask.
Related. You're
Incredible.
Always available. We really appreciate it. I personally just love talking baseball with you, and I always love when you're not during the season, and I just get to see you randomly sitting in here in the office, and we get to hang out and talk a little ball. So.
And I love that you're not as annoyed with me as you used to be. So that's
she has Jim Moore for that now.
True.
Yes. Jim's taking that responsibility. continue good luck, Shannon. We're looking forward to hearing and seeing more from you. Thank you.
Well, in two grades going out in the same week, and I've signed up for the podcast. I always listen on the road. You get my mornings going wherever I am. Just congratulations on everything you guys have created. Look forward to what's next.
That's right. Two greats, Felix and Brock, all going out together this week. All right, Shannon, thank you. Seriously, we'll talk to you soon. There you go.
Right.
There's our friend and Mariners insider, Shannon Dreyer on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline.
She said Salk and the Grossfather. Oh. Let's be very clear.
Okay. I thought you were just talking about you and Felix. I wasn't sure what you meant. All right. We're going to do some open phone lines in 20 minutes. Is that going to work, Kyle? Are we going to be able to do that today?
Of course. Well, are you going to be able to?
I think it should be a challenge. Can you make us cry?
Well, Mike and Edmonds just wrote me like a 29-page letter. That kind of came close. Who was the guy in Burien that we were just reading, Kyle?
Matt and Burien.
Matt and Burien. I was reading his hand-typed letter. So, yeah, I mean, the tears have been flowing. It sounds like Randy Adamack from the Mariners has just stopped by. That's probably going to be a cry fest.
Does this help you a little bit?
Hold on, let me hear
just
it.
Get you jazzed
let
up.
Let me hear. A little. Brock, are you ready to power clean? I don't think not yet. This will be a 9 o'clock hour thing. I do have a couple songs I want to play in the 9
o'clock
hour.
They're coming.
There's a lot still to come. An hour and 20 minutes left here for Brock and Saul. Good news, bad news, no news for the final time. Next on Brock and Saul.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Saul.
All right, we'll have those phone lines open coming up here in 15 minutes or less. It is Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. You know, it's funny, with the whole Kings Court deal last night, there was quite some time where we were talking about how awful it was that they were still doing the Kings Court and how, you know,
that
kind of paid it all off, don't
Tom
you think?
Tom Wassel was.
Wassel, Jim, a lot of
people. I was only talking about the Maple Grove, and I got some mean tweets.
Yeah, but I think this year
there
was a time. I was like, really? We're going to do the Kings Court? The guy's got a 7 ERA?
Right.
But I think last night paid it off, and they made the right choice to keep doing it.
Whoa, kudos
to them.
Hold on. How did he get gifts, too?
No.
Oh.
How did he get one of the greatest gifts of all time?
An autographed Scott Service ball?
One of his own autographs?
No, he got his own autograph?
It's not his own autograph.
What did he get?
But it is like the next best one that he possibly
What did they bring you, Howdy?
Think who could it be?
Oh,
the
Mike
Seattle
Zanino.
Mariners. My lifetime's favorite baseball team. Today on this, the last air day of Brock and Salk, have brought to me a signature of my favorite baseball player of the last 10 years, a man true to my heart,
Mike Zanino.
A Mike Zanino signed baseball.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Swinging a fly ball to the deep center field. Going back, Romine to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye, baseball.
Mike Zanino.
Zanino does it again. Mike Zanino's second.
You know what the great thing about that ball is, Howdy? Now that the show is ending and you're going to be unemployed, if you really fall on tough times, you can sell it and you'll have 3 or 4 cents to your name, which will just totally get you over the top.
I could get so much more with a juiced baseball. Come on, get out of here. Those things are juiced. They got tons of value.
What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Ziggy Ansah sat out yesterday Seahawks practice. He's still dealing with a lingering back issue.
That's not good. That's not good at all. This is a guy that, if John Clayton is right, needs to get his legs underneath him, needs to get into football shape. If that was the explanation for 18 snaps on Sunday that were non-productive, that he's got to get going, missing practice time and missing football reps is not a good way to do it. That's bad news.
Yeah, bad news. I really thought ProSize was going to be healthy this year, and now it turns out he's missing. Oh, no, it's Ziggy? Oh, I'm sorry. We were talking about Ziggy. Yeah, this is bad news. Don't like it at all.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Gary Jennings' waiver submission was rescinded, and he returned to the Seahawks.
The strangest darn story I can remember. Do you remember
Weird.
You ever heard of this happening?
I have never heard of
He's
this
happening. He spent the whole day yesterday talking about how he was getting waived, and then, whoops, they decided to rescind all that.
And Adam Schefter reported out that the Seahawks had sent in a waiver submission cutting him and then asked them to pull it back.
So strange.
And he showed up the next day.
Never heard of anything like that.
It's a battle for 52 or 53. That's what that was.
Yeah.
It was, is Brian Monet the guy that we can cut that would clear waivers when we get back to the squad? Is Gary Jennings the guy we cut that could clear waivers? And I think ultimately, after they even sent the fax, said, I think Monet actually is not going to get picked up. So let's rescind that. Let's cut him and see if we can get him back eventually. Largely, though, for when you're talking the 52 and 53 man on the roster, largely no news. Even though I was that guy once. No news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
10,000 people in King's Court yesterday for Felix Hernandez's final start for potentially as a Mariner yesterday.
Isn't that great news?
After he was in the dugout, after he had already walked off the field. There's a new pitcher on the mound. They're still
I'm going to go back and do something I used to do a lot that that I've tried over the years, listening to many of you. I've tried to learn and adapt and evolve my game and grow my game. So not every baseball conversation is a football conversation anymore.
And now
I'm going to do it.
Now
I'm
every go football way back conversation is a baseball conversation.
Because I don't know if I could was the only one thinking this. But you know what? That's what's going to happen when Richard comes back one day, too. That's what will happen when Earl comes back one day, too. That's what's going to happen. The last few years, Mike, have been tough. Felix, it's been hard. This has not been the Felix. As you said yesterday, you can kind of point to him, sadly, in some of these moments of not being super big when they needed him in the wild card chase and everything else. But last night, you forgot all of that. You could care less about the bad start in Toronto. You could care less about the injuries, any of that. It all disappeared last night. And eventually, when Earl and Sherm and Cam and those guys, but especially Earl and Sherm, who left here not on the greatest of terms and scorched some earth behind him. Eventually, when they come back, we will feel the exact same way.
Pretty cool. That is good news, bad news, no news for the final time here on Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN CL. You want me to read this now, Kyle? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Before we do some open lines, we got a moment here. That's good news, bad news. Lines are now open. I have opened the phone lines, and so we'll have about 40 minutes of you guys. I have a poem here written by the great Nanny O'Deal. Would you like to hear Nanny O'Deal's poem?
Yes.
All right, here we go. The great Nanny O'Deal on Twitter writes, 710 is turning now. It's lineup rearranged. And so we dream of distant lands where nothing ever changed. Somewhere it's Blue 42. Brock yells cadence in full throat. While Salk inspires us to ask, say what? To the sound of a bleeding goat. Where Kyle is our beanpole bro and Lydia unites us, Clayton coughs a wild card while Howdy eats detritus. Where countless days of takeaways lead to joyous noise of Phil the Skunk and Andy Bunk heckling the young boys. Where Brock is using misspoke words, he knows not what they mean, and Salk is telling tales of jogs around a lake of green. Somewhere Brock is giggling as Salk spins his yarn, but for this day, and for all days, the hay is in the barn. Be right back. Open lines, Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.